Genesis 22. He said to him, God said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. Now listen, verse 3, early the next morning, that's my kind of guy right there. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, love it, didn't wait, got up the next morning. He didn't falter and wonder, oh, should I do it? No, he got up right the next morning. He loaded his donkey, he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked around and saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servant, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there, and we will worship, and then we will come back to you. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood from the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife, and the two of the men with them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? He's a little slow, as you can see, right? We all know, but at that point, he didn't know. It's you, son, but he didn't go on. So here we go. Verse 8, Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on their way together. When they reached the place that God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged for the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son, but an angel of the Lord, how about you know, well, here it is, the angel of the Lord come out from heaven. Abraham, God has good timing, doesn't he? He said, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him, for I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your one and only son. Now, I want to entitle my message for you this morning, This is Only a Test. This is only a test. Many of you know that I went to Elam Bible Institute, now known as Elam Bible Institute in college, and I'm going to be honest with you, I was not a grade A student. It might be a shocker to some of you, probably not. I was barely a grade C student, to be honest with you. And there were some difficulties that I had, but the one most embarrassing class that was a struggle for me that I barely passed in was marriage and family. And I'm married, and we have a family. So hopefully I learned something. I got a C, so if I'm at least a C as a dad and a husband, I think we're okay. So I'm aiming for A, right? But I had a difficult time. I mean, I was always had a hard time focusing and things like that. But even more difficult time for me was high school. High school was challenging. I mean, I was homeschooled 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th, and I had to go back to school in 11th and 12th. But what happens when you're homeschooled is you have to take some, and you go back to school in the middle of high school, you have to take some freshman courses because they need to make sure that you have the credits, and you have to take the Regents exams. You follow me? The problem is that I was not very good at Math A. Math A is Algebra 1 and 2. It's for freshmen, and I was struggling with Math A. I'm in 11th grade, so I'm in a class with a bunch of other people that probably shouldn't, you know, we should be further along. They put us all in a room, said, all you people, you're idiots, let's learn Math A. And I take the Math A Regent, and I failed. And then guess what? I took it for summer school, 11th grade. Failed again. My worst nightmare came true. I'm a senior in high school taking freshman math. You follow me? That's embarrassing. So I'm like, I better buckle down and actually, like, study. Failed it again. I'm like, okay, I got one last chance to pass this thing. One last chance to pass this. So Bridget Yanzik was tutoring me. Andy Webster's wife, Autumn, was tutoring me. I had Mr. Conley helping me. I had all these people helping me. I took the test. I prepared as much as I could. I got home. The next day, I get a call from my principal saying, I'm sorry, Josh, but you failed Math A. I said, oh, no. He said, you're not going to be able to graduate. I said, no. So I did what any high school student that's at his wit's end would do. I got on my knees and made a deal with God. I know you're not supposed to do that, but I was 18, I didn't care. And I said to God, I remember I was crying, I said, God, if you could find a way for me to graduate, I will dedicate my life to you and I will go to Elam Bible Institute in college, I'll go for the whole time, I'll do whatever you ask. The next day, my principal called me and said, Salisbury, if some of you guys remember him, he was an awesome guy. He said, Josh, you can't graduate, but listen, we will let you walk across the stage, except when you get the diploma, there's nothing in it. Nobody will know. But I knew, so that was a problem. And then he said, you can do a makeup test in the summer. I'm like, oh, Lord. See, the thing is, I failed by 2 points. That's worse, right? So I'm, you know, things are bad. I think we went over to Pastor Jeff's and he prayed for me, which is really like, I'm sorry, dear God, I'm sorry Josh is an idiot, but I mean, he's like, what's your problem? I'm like, it just doesn't add up. I don't know. There's a pun there if you got it. Okay. So there I am, and I get a call from Kathy Morris, who is a teacher at the time, and she says, Josh, not going to believe this. We were looking over the tests, and we were looking at all of your answers, and most of them were wrong. But, you know, like almost 50% of them were wrong. But you had actually done the work correctly on several answers, and we found you the 2 points, and you're going to pass. Whoa! Now, I don't know if that's true, but I took it as a sign of God that I'm going to Elam Bible Institute. I was like, okay, God, here we go. Now, listen, we all know we get tested academically, but how many of us know that we also get tested spiritually? Right? We also get tested spiritually. And it's funny because a lot of us, let me ask you this. How many of you were really good in school? You did great grades. Keep your hands up. You had great grades. You studied. Yeah, come on. Go. Don't be bashful. You're up on the top of your class doing really well. Now, I want you to look around with your hands up. All the people that got their hands down, they don't like you. We don't like people like you. I mean, I had to work hard to barely pass freshman math. Barely pass. See, a lot of us have been Christians for so long that we should be getting our PhDs in spirituality. But so many of us are stuck in freshman math. And why? It's because we're not passing the tests that God is giving to us. We're just not passing them. We're not doing anything. See, because we take notes in school, right? When you want to do well, you take notes in school because you know there's going to be a test. But how many of you know, sometimes in the Christian community, we're not taking notes, we're not even paying attention, and then we keep failing the same test over and over and over again. We wonder, why are we still in freshman math? Why are we still here? Why aren't we taking it seriously? See, Jesus is a father, he's a provider, a healer, a counselor, but he's also a teacher. And good teachers want to test their students. A good teacher doesn't want their student to stay where they're at. A good teacher wants their student to progress and to be promoted and to move on. See, God will prepare you, God will test you, and God will promote you. We see all throughout the Bible. He doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He's not going to prepare you to test you so that you can still be battling the same issues. You might experience them on a higher level, but he wants you to get past the things you've been in. He wants you to get past maybe some of the ways you react to people. He wants to promote you into better areas of responsibility or evangelism, those types of things. So what's the test? See, the difference of being tempted and being tested is this. In James 1, we read about it. You don't have to turn there, but it says James 1:13, when tempted, no one should ever say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then, after desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Now, what we're seeing here is God doesn't tempt you, right? But he can use those moments where you could do evil to test you. He doesn't send you to say, oh, will you lust after that woman? Let's see what you do. No, we live in a fallen world. You may have that temptation to do it, but God's looking at it to say, no, this is a test. You can pass this test. I'm not tempting you. This doesn't come, but this is a test. You can pass it. How many of you want to pass the test God gives you, right? Now, I love this. The definition of a test. This is, you can find this online. I love it. It's a procedure intended to establish the quality, performance, or reliability of something, especially before it's taken into widespread use. How many of you notice we don't like it when we're tested, but we like stuff to be tested? Think about it for a second. You are very happy that when you buy a brand new car, somebody made sure the brakes worked. Right? You're pretty happy when you take some medicine that somebody tested it to make sure it doesn't kill you or make you grow things on your body, right? Those are things that are good. We're happy that they tested it. Ladies, you use shampoo. Aren't you glad that somebody tested it to make sure your hair doesn't fall out? It says there, it's been tested, but not on animals, okay? So you never know. We're glad when things are tested, but we don't like when we're tested. When I did this service this morning, I checked my mic. David saw me. He was like, I was saying check, making sure it worked. I wanted to make sure that's working. How many of you go on airplanes are glad that the pilot went through a test? It doesn't always seem like that, because sometimes it's like, is this guy ever flown before? But they have. And you know what? That pilot had to submit himself to be tested. He had to submit himself through tests and all types of other scenarios in order to get to the point where he could fly a plane. Testing. It's all part of life. What would it be like if Noah wasn't tested with the flood? Or Daniel wasn't tested with the lions? Or David with the bear and the lion? Or how about Jesus with the cross? Testing is all about this journey that we're on. He prepares us, he tests us, and he promotes us. When I was younger, I would read through this story of Abraham. I don't know about you guys, but you got the flannel graph, and you know things are, you only got a certain amount of time and a certain amount of attention span to work. God bless all you teachers out there, thank you, especially with people like me. When I was younger, and I was in there, I would always hear the story, and I would think that, you know, this whole story that we read in the beginning, that Abraham had to go and sacrifice his son that day. Doesn't it feel like that? When you read it closely, it feels like that. But I want to just look closely here. In Genesis 22, it says, on the third day, everybody say the third day. Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. But wait, I thought he got up early and he did it. No, it says on the third day. If you look into it, the place where Abraham had received the command from God and the place that he actually had to walk it out and actually do what God had commanded him to was 50 miles. So think about this for a moment. Here he is. He hears from God that he's supposed to sacrifice his only son. It doesn't make sense. That's what the pagans do. He's thinking, are you crazy? Okay, he gets up, but he doesn't do it that day. Think about the first hour of having your son with you and thinking, why? Oh my gosh, can we get it over with? God, what are you going to do? And then the next step. I'm not sure. It's been hours. Then the next day and a half a day. And finally you get there. But listen, day after day, step after step, Abraham decided to take a walk of obedience. Even though he didn't know the answer, even though it was nasty and he was thinking about sacrificing his son, he had to go through that every single day. It shows us that sometimes in our lives, it takes a while. The tests take a while. They're not that day. Sometimes when God calls you to have better patience, hello? He calls you to that here, and you're trying, and you're saying, God, why is it taking so long? I'm this old now, God. Why are you still testing me with my patience? I'm impatient just thinking about it. I'm getting older, Lord. Why are you testing me with my finances? Haven't we made it through this? Maybe some of you have been waiting to get a job or find the right person, right door to open or close, or for a child to come back to God. But listen, Abraham said, if you put one, he showed it, one foot after the other in obedience. The Bible says, do not grow tired in doing what is good. For the proper time, we will reap a harvest. So we just continue and we do not give up. So here's Abraham. He's walking and he gets to this top of Moriah. And we know how the story ends, but when Abraham's at the top of the mountain, it's really important. Do you guys notice his servants stayed behind? Abraham was all by himself. He didn't have a worship team with him. He didn't have church. He didn't have his accountability partner or his care group. He's there right there, about to sacrifice his son by himself. Sometimes the biggest tests in our life will happen when nobody is looking except for God. The biggest tests will happen when no one else is looking. God's saying, listen, he's telling him, if I can test you in private, I can promote you in public. There was this time I bought some black lights from Home Depot. I bought them with the church card, and I was doing a youth group type of thing and needed some black lights to do so. And I get home, we get back to church, and I'm taking out my receipt, and I'm looking at the receipt, and I'm going, they didn't charge me for all these bulbs. What do I do? You know? You've been in those moments? What do I do? Now, I kind of quickly look to see if there's any cops coming down the road. Nope, no cops. Okay, that's good. But I told Jeff, I'm like, I'm going to call them and see what happens. Well, I called them. I called Home Depot, and I said to them, hey, you guys didn't charge me enough. And she's like, excuse me? I'm like, I bought like 20 bulbs, and you only charged me for like two. And she's like, why are you calling us? I said, because you didn't charge me enough. She's like, wait, am I getting this right? Do we got a loose connection? We didn't charge you enough? That is not the complaint we normally get. And I told her what happened. I said, I got all these bulbs and we're using them, and you only charged me for two, but this is Home Depot. This is far away. You know, I don't want to drive out there. Can I just pay you on the card? She said, no, you can't. I was like, so what do you want me to do? She's like, just keep them. Sweet, I took it. But that moment, you know that moment where you're like looking at it and you're thinking, nobody's going to know. Who's going to know? Save you all some money, you know, save the church some money. No, I just wanted to do what was the right thing. We've all had these moments, right? Those are important. It's not because we're awesome. It's just because we chose and we passed the test at that time. But listen, why did I do it? Because the truth is that if I can honor God when nobody's looking, he can honor me when everybody's looking. The stuff that we do in private matters. How you treat your spouse matters. How you talk to your kids matters. How you do well at work and put in the effort matters. These things matter. What you look at on the internet matters. Because God is trying to prepare you and test you so that he can promote you. If you can pass the test, you can help others pass the test as well. Amen? That's a good thing. That's what he wants you to do. He doesn't want you to stay there while, you know, how you treat women matters. How you treat the opposite sex or just hang out. The jokes you laugh at while you're at work matter. All this stuff matters. He's trying to promote us. Normally, you know, in life, in a classroom setting, the teacher will say, all right, class, we're going to have a test in, you know, a week and a half. It's going to be on Friday. Please be prepared. The stuff I'm going to tell you is going to be on the test. And we like that, don't we? It gives us so much adequate time to prepare. We're like, okay, cool. How many wish God operated like that? You know what I mean? You wake up to a text message and it's from God. Dear son, it is me, God. Don't try to text me back. I got a different number. This Wednesday, you're going to have a real difficult time with a coworker that you have. But don't worry, because I'm giving you ample amount of time to prepare, and you'll be filled with the Spirit, so you're not going to slap them. Okay, yes, love God. That would be great, wouldn't it? That would be awesome. Or if he was like, you wake up to an email and it says, dear sister, go to church this Sunday because there's going to be a man seated behind you in a green shirt with khaki pants. And that is your mate for life. Amen. Love God. I just saw some of you looking. Green shirt? Where? But God doesn't do that, does he? God operates a little differently. God operates in what I like to call pop quizzes. Pop quizzes. Where you don't know when they're coming. You don't know who it's going to be. You don't know where it's going to be. And then it comes and you're like, oh, shoot. I was not prepared, you know. But we should be prepared for the pop quizzes. Perfect example, this week. Had a lot of things happen to me this week. First of all, we got a lovely newborn baby, and she doesn't like to sleep very much when we're sleeping. So this is one of those types of deals, and then, you know, all that. And then I got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, and they all got a lot of emotions, and they're all girls. So I got that. But I get home one day, from an ELA meeting on Tuesday, I get home and I'm like, Jess, it seems a little cooler in here. Because when we have a baby, anyway, in our house, when we have a baby, my wife likes to have it like a nursing home in there, which is like 90 degrees. I'm walking around in my shorts and, you know, that's about it. So I'm like, it seems a little cooler in here. She's like, no, I didn't notice. I go and look and it's like 5 degrees lower than what the thermostat says. I said, uh-oh. Well, I think I can fix it. So, you know, put on your big boy pants and you're like, I can do this. Yeah, I can fix this. And I open it up and I start working on it. And then I start YouTubing, which my father said, you don't even need dads anymore. You got YouTube. It's true. So I'm watching this guy do it on there. And I called Jim Heckathorn and he walks me through some stuff. And I figured out what it was. It was like a $100 to $200 part. So the next day, I had to track down where to get this part because I couldn't find it anywhere. And I drove all the way out to about Tonawanda to get this part. Now, it's better because I didn't have to pay anybody to fix it, right? I could fix it. Found out what it was. So there's that going on. This is not the way I want to spend my Wednesday. So I grab the part. I drive back home. I plug in the part. I put it together. And I broke another piece of the furnace while I was putting it on. And I remember thinking, this is a pop quiz. I better be careful how I respond. So I walked outside. I'm like frustrated. And I remember just walking outside and I'm just standing there going, okay, I can't change what happened, but I can change how I respond. I can't change what happened, but I can change how I respond. I can't help what happened. Because normally I just blow up. I'm like, this is it, God! It's like nobody can do it. My wife could bake me cookies, and I'd be like, these are awful! Just in a bad mood. So then I went, and I told, and Jess, you could tell Jess knew that it was like a volcano about to erupt. She could sense it, and she's like, it's okay, honey. I'm like, thank you, God, for her. She's like an angel right now. So what did I do? I called some places to find it, and they're like $90. I said, are you kidding me? I see it on Amazon right now for $30. Why, God? So I drive all the way back out there. I buy the dumb part. They gave me a discount, which was nice. And I bring it all the way back. But the whole time I'm thinking, I think I at least passed the test, right? maybe not with flying colors, but I at least passed the pop quiz. Because if we're really preparing ourselves with getting in His Word, praying, allowing Him to speak into our lives, we're going to be able to pop, or we're going to be able to pass these pop quizzes. Man. So here we have Abraham about to take the biggest pop quiz of his life. For 75 years, he's been waiting for a son, and then waits another 25 years. And then here's God saying, I want him back. Oh, man. And he's walking up to Mount Moriah, you know the story. Abraham's obedient. He's about to do it. And God steps in and says, stop, stop. You don't have to do it. This was only a test. See, Abraham was focused on the Lord. He was focused on the test. And he wasn't looking around at anything else. Maybe there's some issues. I don't know if it's faith. He was tested 25 times in his faith. But maybe you have some family issues or some finance issues, addictions, breakthroughs, things that just seem like they're taking forever. And maybe you feel like it's just too much. And I just want to tell you this morning, I feel like God's saying, just focus on the test. I've prepared you. You can pass this. When I was in high school, I was taking a history test. I actually did pretty well in history. And I actually tried for this test. Like, I prepared. I went home. I can still remember what the textbook looked like because I actually liked it. And I was like reading it over and over again and studying all this stuff for history. And I'm there taking this test over here at Pioneer. I was prepared, confident. And there was a guy seated next to me. His name was Pat. And Pat, he didn't know Jesus, and he didn't know the answers either. You know what I mean? So I'm there. I'm taking this test. And you can just sense this guy over your shoulder, right? You could just sense when people are, like, trying to look at your stuff. And I'm, like, covering it up, you know? But there's one problem with Pat. He was looking everywhere for these answers. Like, he could not find them. He wanted them. So he thought in his mind that he was going to whisper. Problem is that Pat can't whisper. You've met these people, right? That the concept of whispering, it's just they don't get it. They can't go, hey, how's it going? You know? So he's like, what in his mind is saying, hey, Whip, can I have the answer to number one? That's what he thinks he's doing, but really it's, hey, Whip, can I have the answer to number one? All raspy like that. And I'm like, shut up, Pat, shut up. A little time goes by. Hey, Whip, can I have the answer to number two? Shut up, Pat. And this continues, and finally my teacher stands up and he goes, Pat, I can hear you. And then he says, why would you want to copy off of Josh Whippy? The problem is that Pat did not prepare himself, so he's looking all over the place, frantically asking all these other people for answers, finding out, what do I do? We do this too. We go to this person, we go to that person. We try to find out what they're going through. But the truth is that in life, we all have different tests. We all have different tests. It's like sometimes, you know, the teacher says, here's a test, we're going to mix them up. They put two tests in one room to see who's cheating, to find out. They do this. But in life, we got different tests, and what we need to do is focus on what God has called us to do, focus on the obedience factor of doing whatever He's called us to do, and just focus on that. Not asking, hey, why are you going through that? I'm not going through that. I don't understand. I have to deal with my patients. I have to deal with whining. Why don't they have to deal with that? Everybody's against me. Why am I going through this? Don't look at that stuff. Just look at what God's calling you to do. Amen? Let's stand this morning. In the Bible, it says, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. How many of you have heard that saying, you can't have a testimony unless you go through some tests? Am I right? We have these moments in our lives where we're going through these tests and it just seems so hard. But I wondered if today, you know, some of you have some tests in your mind, some things have been maybe brought to the forefront of your mind where you're just thinking, I need to pass that test. Maybe we can declare this morning, I'm going to pass that test. Whatever it is in your life, if it's addictions, if it's maybe it's overeating, maybe it's the way you talk to your spouse, maybe it's your patience level, maybe it's how committed you are to your job or to your family. Maybe we could just say together, I'm going to pass that test because we have the best teacher of all time. Amen. After Abraham passed this test, there's this point where God says to him, now I know. I love that. Because so many times while you're in the test, it kind of feels like, God, are you there? Do you know what I'm going through? This is hard. This is difficult. But I love that. Now I know what you went through. Some of you have gone through some really nasty breakups and divorces. Some of you have your parents split up when you're younger, and you're still trying to get past these tests. I'm telling you right now, God knows. He's there with you. Just a few verses later with Abraham, God says this. He says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will possess of the cities and the enemies, and through your offspring, all nations will be blessed because you have obeyed me. That's so powerful. Promotion comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from man. Real promotion comes from the Lord. I'm not talking about just better money or better cars or a better office building somewhere. What I'm saying is that God wants you to grow, and he's got bigger things in store for you than you even know. And he wants to use you to do it. But in order for us to get there, we have to pass the test. Before we pray, I was reading this thing where David said, he prayed this crazy prayer in Psalm 26. He said, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. He knew that in order for him to be a tested servant, for him to be a faithful servant, he had to be tested. He knew. He was submitting himself to that, like the pilot, submitting himself to say, I want to drive the airplane. He said, Lord, test me. He didn't say, oh, Lord, don't test me. Please, I don't want any of that. He actually said, bring it on. So what's the Lord testing you in? Is it your purity, your patience, your anger, self-control? I want to be known. I want to be known for something, but I know if that's the case, then I'm going to have to be tested in something too, right? In a academic classroom, you know, when you're taking the test, you can't just raise your hand up and say, teacher, can you help me? The teacher can't do that. But can I tell you this morning that God is a better teacher? And when you say, God, here I am, will you just help me, Lord? He comes and he helps you. In the moment of the test, he comes. He's the teacher that's saying, you've got this. I can help you. You know the answers. So all around this room, let's just lift our hands to the Lord. If you're just in a test or you know there's a test coming up and saying, teacher, will you help me? Teacher, will you come through for me? God, there's things in our lives that we're battling. There's things in our lives that we know aren't right, and we know there's been tests, and we've been flunking them with flying colors. But Lord, we're praying that today, that you will just birth inside of us this desire, Lord, to want to be tested like David did, to walk through in obedience like Abraham did, even though that sometimes we're on our own, even though it feels like there's nobody there, even when we're all worried about what other people are doing. God, can we focus on you and focus on the test in hand so that we can reap the harvest for your kingdom and do the work that you've called us to do? Lord, we thank you that we're not on our own. We thank you that, God, sometimes you're just standing there whispering the answers to us. We have a God who speaks. But God, there are those times where we're in the valley and we're just wondering what is going on. We got a 50-mile journey and it feels like it's been going on for so long. Lord, would you visit us? Would you give us the faith? Lord, I love the idea of faith, because without a little bit of doubt, it's not really faith anymore. But Lord, here we are. We're saying, despite our doubts, despite the trials and the tribulations, despite the pain of some of this stuff, we are going to obey you and we are going to pass the test. It's only a test. Lord, I pray for families that are in the middle of a test right now. Lord, I pray that they would pursue you and focus on the test at hand, so that they won't be looking to the left or the right and trying to flunk out. Lord, I pray for those that are dealing with the loss of loved ones in this test, that they will be able to grow and be promoted to help others. Lord, I pray for those that are battling purity issues. Would you please come through for them, Lord? Would they be able to focus on the test so that you can promote them? Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you that you are a God that listens, that cares, and wants to see us develop into the greatest that we can be for your kingdom. And we just pray blessings. I pray blessings over everyone in this room, and I pray for straight A students in the name of God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.